Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
The scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. But first, a brief word and partial explanation. This is the parable of the wedding feast. In this parable, all is not what it seems. The king is God the Father, and the son who's being honored at the banquet is Jesus Christ. The wedding banquet was one of the most joyous occasions in Jewish life and could last for up to a week. In his parable, Jesus compares heaven to a wedding banquet that a king had prepared for his son. To be invited to the feast was to be invited to receive salvation from the Lord. To wear a wedding garment provided by the king was a great honor, for the garment represents the righteousness of Christ, and it would be unthinkable for an invited guest to not wear the garment, for to do so would be to reject God's offer of salvation. The reading will show you what happens to a man who comes to the banquet without wearing the wedding garment. You'll also hear the sentence, "Many are invited, but few are chosen." In this parable, to be chosen means not only to be invited to the banquet, that is, to receive God's blessing and salvation, it also means that those who wear the garment have themselves chosen to lead a godly, saintly life, and those who do not wear the garment have chosen to reject God's offer and to live the life of a sinner. This, then, is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" May the Lord bless to our use through Joey's message this reading of his holy word.
Hear these words from Paul's letter to the Romans from the 5th chapter, the first 5 verses. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us." Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. I titled this, "Having Hope." I preach from the lectionary. It's a 3-year cycle labeled A, B, and C by the scholars who compile it. It gets me through the Bible every 3 years and helps me not to get too stuck in a particular book. Dr. Ed Murray, a professor from graduate school, told a story about how he became a lectionary preacher in the early 50s. It seems he had preached 40 consecutive sermons on the Gospel of John. Think about that. And when one of the beloved finally came to him and asked for something different, anything different, please, Reverend. So that is how I became a lectionary preacher, because Dr. Murray shared of his own experience. Though I have been known to preach 1 or 2 or 3 weeks from one text or another, I do try to move things around and make it interesting for me, and most especially and hopefully for you. You will note this morning that the text I am preaching on is from Paul's letter to Romans, not the Matthew text listed. That is in part because I gave Nylene the wrong text for this morning. The one that should have been listed was Matthew 21, 33 through 46. However, on Monday when I started putting together the message, as I started preparing for the week, I really wasn't quite sure. Just something didn't feel right. Then on Wednesday, after the deadline for the publishing was passed, I was sure that it just did not work for me. But it was too late to change. So here we are this morning looking at Romans 5, 1 to 5, and talking about the nature of hope. Rather than vineyards and tenants and grapes, what happened? For me, when I picked Matthew 21, 33 through 46, about 5, 6 weeks ago, it made perfect sense. Sometimes I do this by quarters of the year. Yet in the month that has passed, we've had several hurricanes along with several earthquakes, and then last Sunday, the terrible event in Las Vegas. So I needed a word of hope and felt led to share a word of hope with you, dear friends. And then for icing on the cake, I don't know whether this affects you the way it affects me. I like music a lot. I'm a child of the 60s. If I had any talent as a musician, I would probably have been a professional musician. But God has a wonderful sense of humor and called me, of all people, into ministry. So I was hit particularly hard Monday when the news broke of Tom Petty's death, partly because I love his music and partly because I am just 10 months older than him, too close to the bone. So as the weight of the week hit the middle of the week, I just needed to say something about hope. These opening verses from chapter 5 are what scholars label as the consequences of justification. Paul says that through the grace of Christ, we have access to God. By believing in Jesus, we are then justified. He actually starts this in the 3rd chapter, where he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so what shall save us? And then that wonderful line, it is Christ Jesus alone. And then he gets to the heart of it in verse 2, where he says, we rejoice in our hope, sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So at least part of the question needs to involve understanding hope. In my standard collegiate dictionary, the word hope is defined as the concept as of hope rests between hop, as in hop on one foot, and precedes Hopewellian, which is a unique reference to Native American culture and practice in the West. Hope, in fact, will quite possibly be different for each and every one of us here. The poet Robert Browning, in an 1867 poem, penned these words, in apparent failure. I have used these at weddings and funerals, and I have a copy of this in my hymnal. Apparent failure, Robert Browning. It is wiser being good than bad. It is safer being meek than fierce. It is fitter being sane than mad. My own hope is a sun will pierce the thickest cloud earth ever stretched, that after last returns the first, though a wide compass round be fetched, that what began best can't end worst, nor what God blessed once prove a curse. Paul closes the 13th letter of the 13th chapter of his first letter to the people of Corinth with the words, so faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It would be safe to say that these elements and emotions for Paul are not just linked, but closely related. They are part of the fiber which drove him to his feet. It is hard to imagine faith without a strong sense of hope. It would be hard to hope without a strong commitment to love. Dr. Kenan Callahan is a United Methodist minister. His specialty is church management. During his long career, he has taught courses on effective mission and ministry within the faith community. When I first encountered his work now 30 years ago, he said something that struck me and moreover has stuck with me. In a very close paraphrase, he said, any of us who has lived past 10 knows what fear is. Fear can come and hunt us down in the most unlikely places, and might I add, a myriad of insecurities. He went on to say, what we need to remember is that while fear is strong and at times quite devastating, hope is always stronger than fear. Hope is always stronger than fear. And I would imagine that's going to be different for each of us. Some just fear overwhelms us, consumes us. So Paul closes that 13th chapter with, so faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of love, of this is love. It has been a rough last few months with hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, violence, and any other means of devastations have haunted and hounded us from near and afar. What it seems we need now, and perhaps more than ever, is a word of hope. So, dear friends, find a word of hope, a sentence of hope, a paragraph of hope, a book of hope, and then live that hope you know and believe. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, find some way to hope. Because I try to be current, I look at a couple of newspapers every day and surf the internet looking for words of hope. And I wasn't feeling it the front part of this week, so I had to step back from my computer. I looked carefully at the newspaper. And I will tell you that as a pastor, I would recommend you do the same. If you're feeling less hopeful than you'd like, find something that feeds the hope that lives in you, that you're meant to live with. Find out what that is, and it's going to be different for each of us. I mentioned Tom Petty. I took solace in hearing some of his music. I never met him. I never heard him live, but I followed his career, and even though he is gone, that music lives on, and there is hope in the lyrics that he wrote and sang. Somebody asked him, they just finished a 40th anniversary tour, he and the Heartbreakers, and he said, so this is it, you'll retire? And he said, no, we're just figuring it out. This is what we want to do. This is us. This is who we are. And to keep a band together for 40 years is a pretty exciting thing. So I don't know what you need in terms of hope, but find it. I find a fair amount of hope when I look at the funny papers, especially Sunday in the Times, in living color. It's not as big as it was when I was a kid, and I need my best reading glasses to read it because the print is so fine, but there's always something that causes me to smile, that lifts my heart. So find that hope, and then live that hope. Be that hope, not just for others, but for yourself. May it ever be so. Amen.